Coming to companies delivered by TriStar Moving, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to Superbook Sports, live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Day 5 at Super Bowl Radio Row, presented by Social Furniture on Charlotte Avenue in the Richland Creek Shopping Center. Pay no money down and no interest for 1 year right now during their tax refund sale. Fireball Hot Take Friday loaded up today. Remember, I promised. No boring guests. So no, oh, tell us about your career as a, wait, no. But we've got Chris Johnson coming on today. We'll ask him about Derrick Henry. We'll ask him about Tannehill, the direction of the team. We've got, I'm trying to think of who else we got. We got Tony Khan, co-owner of the Jags, is going to join us. His thoughts on Jacksonville and everything else. So we're really excited, loaded show today, all kinds of different stuff going on. Adoree Jackson going to stop by as well at some point, what happened between him and Vrabel, all of that here on Stillman & Company program. But I want to start with this. We have not talked at all about the Super Bowl yet, even though we've been at Super Bowl 57 Radio Row all week. And I want to start on the game because this is a copycat league. You know that. So once one team wins a Super Bowl, everybody all of a sudden thinks this is the key to winning a Super Bowl. I mean, remember when Tom Brady went to Tampa Bay and won a Super Bowl, the Rams then said, well, we'll push all our chips in the middle and we'll try to get a veteran quarterback and we'll try to win the Super Bowl. And it worked. And then once that happened, everybody said, we need to do the same thing. We need to be these same teams. And that's how the Cleveland Browns got hoodwinked into a $230 million fully guaranteed contract for Deshaun Watson, where I'm not sure they'll ever see the Super Bowl win. And so there's two sides to this for the rest of the league. Forget about the two teams themselves. There's Kansas City, who's in this game every other year. And there's Philadelphia, who has a great team around a good quarterback. Jalen Hurts can give the rest of the league hope on Sunday. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking to yourself, Jared, you're crazy. What do you mean Jalen Hurts can give the rest of the league hope? You can build. You can build a great team in the NFL if you have a couple quality players, you hit it out of the park in the draft, you sign appropriately the right free agents, and you have the right scheme for the right quarterback, and then you get lucky and you make like one or two absolutely game-changing moves. That's all you got to have. That's if the Eagles win. If Kansas City wins, all the talk will be about Patrick Mahomes. And everybody in the league will then try to tell themselves, man, we need to be like Kansas City. Well, how do you become Kansas City? Well, you have to have a Patrick Mahomes. Well, how did they get Patrick Mahomes? Who may end up being an all-time generational player. I mean, look at his stats. 5 years as a starter, 5 AFC championship games, 2 league MVPs, 3 Super Bowl appearances. That's not normal. But every team will say, how did they do it? Well, they did it by having the luxury of a good team, scouting the guy properly, having the right coach to evaluate the quarterback, the right coach to nurture the quarterback, the right coach to sit him on the bench so that they could develop him as a quarterback. And he had the right receiver, the right tight end, the right defensive tackle, and ownership that spends. It's very hard to recreate that. It's very hard to recreate what Cincinnati has done. Get lucky that you have the number one pick the year that a transcendent player like Joe Burrow comes out. It's easy. Easy might be strong. It's possible for the rest of the league to recreate Philadelphia. It's possible. Every year. And I know we feel bad about the A.J. Brown trade because A.J. Brown's in the Super Bowl and the Titans didn't even make the playoffs. But every year there's a trade like the A.J. Brown trade. Remember when Stephon Diggs was dealt? Just this past year, Devontae Adams was traded. Tyreek Hill was traded. You can build a team like the Eagles. In fact, I'll argue, I think Miami, they're not as good. But I think Miami has kind of built a team like the Eagles. Two really good receivers. They are working on the offensive line. They've got a solid defense. The problem with Miami is the quarterback can't stay healthy. That is a model in Philadelphia that people can replicate. Jalen Hurts, and I promise you, I am not crapping on Jalen Hurts here. Jalen Hurts is a good quarterback. Jalen Hurts is not a great quarterback, and Jalen Hurts is not an elite quarterback. Patrick Mahomes, he's elite. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, those guys are elite. And if you're going to get an elite quarterback, you have to A, get lucky, and B, you have to be able to scout him correctly. You have to be able to draft him correctly. You have to be able to put good players around him correctly. You have to be able to nurture him correctly. You got to do a lot of things in order to get the next Patrick Mahomes. And you got to get lucky. You got to have an Andy Reid as your coach. How many teams have an Andy Reid? Teams can build themselves up like the Eagles have. And if the Eagles win, that will be what people will say. Now, I think there will be like this whole discussion about how great Jalen Hurts is. And I know a lot of people think Jalen Hurts is better than he is. And Jalen Hurts is going to get $50 million and all of that. But I'm telling you what he is. He is a good quarterback who is a great leader, who is in an awesome scheme, who has everything a quarterback can ask for. He's got a great offensive line. He's got two receivers. He's got a tight end. He's got two running backs. He's got an offensive scheme that is built around his ability to run. He threw for 121 yards in the NFC Championship. That's because they have a great team. Patrick Mahomes can't throw for 121 yards and then win anything. Patrick Mahomes couldn't beat Vanderbilt the way Kansas City's built if he threw for 121 yards. So I am watching the game. I haven't decided officially who I'm rooting for, and I haven't really decided my official pick, which we will get to at the end of the program today. But I am struggling, and I am looking at Philadelphia, and I'm thinking, could a Philadelphia Super Bowl, could that be what gives the rest of the league hope? And more importantly, not just the rest of the league, not just all these teams out there that say, hey, we can take a second round pick and develop the guy, but specifically the Titans. That's the team that I'm thinking about. You all know it. If you have to have a Patrick Mahomes in order to win the Super Bowl, I don't see how the Titans can get that guy. As long as Mike Vrabel's the coach, they will never be bad enough to be able to pick that good of a quarterback. As long as Mike Vrabel is the coach, and this is no disrespect to Vrabel, but he's not a quarterback whisperer like an Andy Reid. As long as Vrabel's the coach, the second the quarterback has success, that offensive coordinator will get hired as a head coach. So I don't think you can do what Kansas City has done. You can do what Philadelphia's done. You can do that. You can build it up. Remember what Vrabel said last year after they lost to the Bengals, and he talked about being great around Tannehill. And a lot of people ran with that, and they made a big deal about how Mike Vrabel said that they need to be great around Tannehill, and then Vrabel clarified it at the combine by talking about the coaching elements of being great, like running the right routes, blocking with the right technique, those kind of things. And not so much the personnel being great. But I think the truth is, Mike was saying, you have to have great personnel around Ryan Tannehill in order to win with Ryan Tannehill. That's what the Eagles are. If you put Ryan Tannehill on the Eagles, I think there's a pretty good chance they're still playing in this game today. I think San Francisco is very similar. San Francisco has the tight end. San Francisco has the best left tackle in the NFL. San Francisco has two receivers. San Francisco has a great running back. San Francisco has all these things. That's how they can keep shuffling quarterbacks in and they can continue to win. And the time where they lost was when they got overpowered by that defensive line. Anybody could have had Hassan Reddick. Hassan Reddick makes less money than Bud Dupree. So it's about just finding the right guys and building around them. That's the narrative if Philadelphia wins. And I think it gives the rest of the league hope. Indianapolis, Jim Irsay, kind of an old kook. He can't figure out why the Colts don't ever win. And it's because the only time the Colts have ever won is when they got lucky enough to draft transcendent players at the quarterback position. Now, you don't necessarily have to develop a Peyton Manning, and you don't have to develop Andrew Luck, and you don't have to develop Joe Burrow. But for the most part, Josh Allen was developed and Patrick Mahomes was developed. And that is so incredibly hard to do. I am resigned to the fact as a Titans fan that I know deep down inside the Titans will never be able, with Vrabel as the coach, and this is not a knock on Vrabel, but he's a defensive guy. He's more of an overseer. He's a head coach. He's not a run the offense, farm the other side of the ball out kind of guy. As long as Vrabel's the coach, they'll never be able to have the Patrick Mahomes type quarterback. They, with Vrabel, can build a Philadelphia like it's been built around Jalen Hurts. Just like Howie Roseman built it around Carson Wentz and Nick Foles 5 years ago. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Get your Super Bowl thoughts in, because today we will be talking a lot about the Super Bowl. So I'm excited. Kansas City, Philadelphia. I had the option of going to the game and sitting up in the 12,000 level, and I said, no, thank you. I will be flying home, and I'll be watching the game on TV. 615-737-1025 here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. Patrick Mahomes did something very special yesterday, but he has the opportunity to do something even more shocking to me where they win on Sunday. We'll get to that coming up next here on the program. Join 1025, 1063 The Game this Saturday at 3rd and Home tomorrow, located at 919 3rd Avenue North in Germantown, for a Preds watch party as the Predators take on the Flyers at 11:30 a.m. Come watch the game and get some Preds swag, and also enter to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. The mouthwatering menu at 3rd and Home includes signature items such as wings, stuffed breadsticks, classic burgers, and hot chicken and waffles. They've got $18 domestic buckets, $5 Preds punch, $20 champagne bottles, and a $7 Nashville hot chicken and fries.
I think he's deserving of it for sure. He works extremely hard, as you know, at his profession. He works hard to be the best. He tries to help our team be the best. He says it every day when he comes into practice, into the huddle, let's be great today. And he lives that. My hat goes off to him for that. Very proud of him for it, the way he goes about his business.
That was Andy Reid talking about Patrick Mahomes, who just won another league MVP yesterday. So that's two MVPs for Mahomes, 5 years as a starter. He's got five trips in 5 years as a starter to the AFC Championship game, and they've all been at home. That's how good he's been. But I was looking through today quarterbacks that have won two Super Bowls. Now, it gets tricky because some guys have been on the team for two Super Bowls, but they didn't really win two Super Bowls. Jimmy Garoppolo, for instance, has not won two Super Bowls as a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I think that there is a difference between one Super Bowl and two. Not every quarterback wins a Super Bowl. Dan Marino, great quarterback, never won a Super Bowl. But for the most part, all the greats win one. Steve Young won one. Brett Favre won one. Aaron Rodgers has won one. Russell Wilson and Drew Brees have won one. It's the guys who are the all-timers, for the most part, that win more than one. Now, Ben Roethlisberger has won two, and Eli Manning has won two. And I'm not saying either of those two guys are all-time greats, though I think they will both end up in the Hall of Fame. But if Patrick Mahomes wins on Sunday, now we're talking all-time great. I think Mahomes can retire today and he's in the Hall of Fame. But as far as all-time great, multiple Super Bowls in kind of this era, again, Eli and Ben, yes. The rest, Brady, Manning, Elway, Montana. That's what Patrick Mahomes becomes with a win on Sunday. And sometimes I always tell people about winning and losing. And it's this sense of you don't really remember, or at least I don't, exactly how they got there, or exactly why they got there, or what the circumstances surrounding it were. Because in the end, it doesn't matter. All that matters is that you won that Super Bowl. People don't know why Aaron Rodgers hasn't won more than one Super Bowl. They have their own opinions, but you could blame the Green Bay defense for the 2014 collapse in the second half of the NFC Championship game. Or you could chalk up Aaron's one Super Bowl to the fact that, you know what? Aaron had to play the Chicago Bears. Jay Cutler got hurt in that game and stood on the sidelines and pouted and didn't go back in. Just like how Jalen Hurts had to throw for 121 yards last or 2 weeks ago because Brock Purdy got hurt early in the game. San Francisco didn't have a quarterback. So it didn't matter. So you never remember. We never remember why somebody won those championships, how they won those, what the extra circumstances were, what we call the loser talk. The, oh, well, if this hadn't happened, and if that had happened, and if this would have, and that would have. Every single one of Tom Brady's Super Bowl wins, you can argue, was not because of Tom Brady. And every one of Tom Brady's Super Bowl losses, you can blame somebody else for. David Tyree's miracle catch, that's not Tom Brady's fault. Wes Welker's drop, that's not Tom Brady's fault. Benching Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl and giving up 350 passing yards to Nick Foles and not being able to get off the field, that's not Tom Brady's fault. Just like people say, well, you know, Tom Brady doesn't deserve the credit for that Buccaneers one because that defense, it doesn't matter. And Mahomes can win too. And I feel pretty certain that Mahomes, if he wins the second one, might win a third, might win a fourth. But we never know. So here he is against what I think is a dominant team. The Eagles, all things equal, defensive line, better than the Chiefs' offensive line. Secondary, good veteran, smart players. Offense, great receivers, good offensive line, good running back, smart quarterback who's played in big moments. This is going to be a tough test. But yet, the all-time greats find a way to overcome it. And it's not, it doesn't always happen the first time. Didn't happen that way for John Elway, but John Elway won too. Peyton Manning couldn't even feel tips with that Broncos team, which, by the way, has not made the playoffs since Peyton Manning retired. And they've tried everything, as you could tell. But Peyton Manning won too. For the most part, the all-time greats. And for some reason, Eli Manning, 500 quarterback in the regular season, but in these giant playoff runs, played like an all-time great. He's so the exception to so many rules. And yet, for the most part, if you're an all-time great, like, and I'm not talking about in the Hall of Fame. I'm talking about when they had the NFL 100 and they had the top quarterbacks of all time. Brady won two. And I mean, I know he's won seven, but again, one, two or more. Brady, Manning, Montana, Staubach, Favre, only won one, Marino. And I would argue that you could take Favre out of that group at this point, and you could put in Aaron Rodgers with his two MVPs that have happened since then. And I certainly feel comfortable in saying that in 3 or 4 years, Mahomes would belong in that group, especially if he wins on Sunday. 615-737-1025. Let's get some of your Super Bowl thoughts in here at 615-737-1025. If you want to weigh in, our phone lines on this Fireball Hot Take Friday are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter into the text line says, Texter into the text line says, Kansas City can thank the Bears that they were able to get Patrick Mahomes. That's John from Springfield. Let me say this. I watched a couple weeks ago, you know, a YouTube suggestion came up, and it was the Skip and Shannon program on Fox Sports 1 from the day after the 2017 draft. And the topic was, who's going to be the best quarterback? Trubisky, Mahomes, or Deshaun Watson? And Chris Carter, Hall of Famer, was amongst the trio discussing this with Skip and Shannon. And they just glossed over Mahomes. And Chris Carter said, you know, I don't trust Big 12 quarterbacks. And Andy Reid says that he has to sit a year, and I don't want to do that. I want the cookies now. And I remember thinking to myself when he said that, I was like, what? And now you look back at it, and I was looking back at it when I said, what? Just because he's got to wait a year, he's not supposed to be good? No. That's crazy talk. But people didn't see Mahomes the way that Kansas City did. And that's why I don't think that that can happen unless you're a quarterback guru like a Shanahan or an Andy Reid. I don't think you can look at that. You can look at a quarterback and just trust your coach will be able to find that guy. I don't trust Vrabel to do that. And I like Vrabel. I think he's a great coach. But I don't think Vrabel can evaluate quarterbacks like a Kyle Shanahan can. Texter says, you forgot Troy Aikman with three. Yeah, Aikman's more like Big Ben, more like Eli Manning. And those guys, again, I know Montana was pre-salary cap era and Young was right there at the end, but that was all pre-salary cap. Just doesn't feel. No, Aikman's a lot like Jalen Hurts. Aikman, good quarterback, never an elite quarterback. Now, he played for the Cowboys, so it was a little different. People started telling themselves that he was something that he wasn't. But because he had Emmitt and the line and everything else in that era, Troy was good, and they won, just like what Philadelphia has. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Fireball Hot Take Friday continues live from Radio Row here at Super Bowl 57. Stillman & Company, 1025, 1063, The Game. Company live at Radio Row, presented by Social Furniture here out at Radio Row Super Bowl 57. So I do want to get to what I think, honestly, it needs to be said. I'm not going to make a big deal about this. And even if I did, it wasn't going to affect anything. But the Hall of Fame voting came out yesterday. I guess they've included that into the NFL honors. And so on top of including it into the NFL honors, what they decided they were going to do is they announced who all was in and who all was out. And we can bicker all we want about Rondé Barber being in the Hall of Fame, or talking about, you know, should Jared Allen be in the Hall of Fame when he's not, and all of that. And you know my feeling on the Hall of Fame, that if I think about you and all your accomplishments and I say, yep, Peyton Manning, Hall of Fame, that I'm fine with. But what bothers me is something that the Hall of Fame has. It's a precedent that they've established, and they treat it really seriously, and I think it's kind of bull crap. And that is the fact that the contributors in the Hall of Fame, the contributor wing, is allowed one entrant per year. And this includes owners and coaches and general managers. And I think Titan fans should be disappointed in the fact that if it's only going to be one guy per year, Bud Adams is never going to get into the Hall of Fame. And I think that's wrong. I mean, Bud Adams co-founded the AFL. If you're old, you know this. If you're not, you don't. But the Super Bowl that we've now had for 57 years, that is the single biggest event in America every year, the Super Bowl only exists because we had the AFL merge with the NFL and they decided to play. That's why we have the Super Bowl. So we don't have the Super Bowl without Bud Adams, who co-founded the AFL, with Lamar Hunt of the Chiefs, who is in the Hall of Fame. Ralph Wilson, the old owner of the Bills, he's in the Hall of Fame. A lot of these old-time owners, Al Davis of the Raiders, is in the Hall of Fame. And Bud Adams isn't. And I know, look, Bud Adams pissed a lot of people off over the years. But guess what? That doesn't change the fact of what he meant to the NFL. That's what I always try to tell people. I'm like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any sense to me. So Don Coryell was the one guy yesterday who got in the Hall of Fame. How is Air Coryell not already in the Hall of Fame? One of the greatest offensive coaches of his era. And it took him 50 years to get into the Hall of Fame? What's the point of it? What's the point of having a Hall of Fame where guys like John Lynch, who had great careers, but you could easily tell the story of the NFL without, they're not in. Corey Dillon's not in, or an Edgerrin James is in, but a Robert Kraft has to wait around every single year to see if he's going to get in. Robert Kraft is the guy who created the greatest dynasty of this century. And again, it's not just about Bud Adams, because there are so many qualified guys who belong in the Hall of Fame. I mean, you got guys that created Monday Night Football who aren't in the Hall of Fame because, oh, at the Hall of Fame, we only have one contributor per year, and that's it. And so they had a rule when they had the centennial that they put in a bunch of extra guys and extra people got in the Hall of Fame. And Bud Adams wasn't one of them before that celebration. And that's how Jimmy Johnson got in the Hall of Fame. And that's how Bill Cowher got in the Hall of Fame. And that's how those other coaches got in the Hall of Fame. And it drives me crazy because I think it's wrong. I think it's wrong that Bud Adams isn't in the Hall of Fame and that the way the rules are written, he's most likely never going to get in. And I also think it's stupid. I mean, and I use Robert Kraft as the example here. How old's Robert Kraft? 80? So I don't want to sit here and be overly morbid, but Robert Kraft doesn't have 45 years left, we would assume. So if they're going to put one contributor into the Hall of Fame every single year, how many years does Robert Kraft have to wait? Robert Kraft belongs in the Hall of Fame. Don Coryell, he's gone. A lot of these guys, Bud Adams, he's a. Why are we making people that have created the storyline to the greatest entertainment value in America? Why are we making these people wait because of this weird rule that only one person can go in every year that was a contributor to the game? There are 53 players per team. There's thousands of players in the league. The league is bigger than any one player. But you can't tell the story without certain guys like Montana and Elway and Brady. You can tell the story of the NFL without John Lynch. You can tell the story of the NFL without Edgerrin James. You can't tell the story of the NFL without Bud Adams. I saw that Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs now, Lamar Hunt's son, talked to Jim Wyatt. And he said, Dad absolutely would have wanted Bud Adams in the Hall of Fame. And I saw that and I thought, it feels like it's too little, too late. It feels like, you know, the wild and crazy cowboy that Bud Adams was. It feels like all of that, it doesn't matter. And all I'm saying here is believing in kind of what's right. And to me, the fact that Bud Adams is not in the Hall of Fame, I don't think that's right. Stoneman & Company live out at Radio Row here at Super Bowl 57. Our coverage presented by Social Furniture. So the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl for what, the third time now in 5 years, has it been? Four times.
Third time in 4 years.
Okay.
Five times hosting the AFC Championship game, but third time Super Bowl in 4 years.
Third time in the Super Bowl for 4 years. Jason Anderson, who's the midday show host at Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City, joins us. So every year as a kid, I used to watch Super Bowl, and the Titans used to be good. And when the Titans were good, I would be depressed because I would be like, oh, they were right there with these teams that are in the Super Bowl, and it could have been our year. And then when the Titans were terrible, I would get really, really depressed because I would think about how far away they were from these teams. Right now, the thing that depresses me is I don't know how the Titans find a Patrick Mahomes. I don't know how anybody finds a Patrick Mahomes. And I feel like had some dumb team, had Chicago decided they wanted Patrick Mahomes with the number two pick in the 17 draft, I don't think he'd be what he is today. I mean, I still think he'd be good, but I don't think he'd be what he is today. Which leads me to this question, which is, how does a team that has competed with the Chiefs, and I think gives the Chiefs a lot of fits in the Titans, how do they build up their team so that they can consistently compete with a team that is every year in the AFC Championship?
I mean, I think it starts and ends in the NFL at the quarterback position. And, you know, Chiefs football for a long time was not good. And then Andy Reid got there and it was pretty good. I mean, they'd made the playoffs. They were winning the AFC West.
Are right now.
Yeah. But they weren't advancing in the playoffs. They weren't doing anything when they got there. They won one game, and Alex Smith was a fine quarterback, but they had a really good defense. They would pressure the quarterback. They could run the football. Alex Smith wasn't turning the ball over. It was a controlled offense and a defense that really got after you and caused turnovers. And then it got to the playoffs, and they would lose to teams that had better quarterbacks. They would lose to teams that had Hall of Famers, and you would see Hall of Famers go on and win Super Bowls. And that's why the Chiefs decided in 2017 that it was worth it to trade a first-round draft pick to move up to number 10 to get Patrick Mahomes, even though they had Alex Smith. And a lot of Chiefs players thought they were trading up to get a defensive player when they moved up to number 10. And a lot of people thought they were going to get Deshaun Watson when they moved up to number 10. But they got Patrick Mahomes. They chose correctly out of those three from, you know, Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, and we know what Deshaun Watson's been, you know, dealing with. And so when they made that choice, they essentially told everybody, themselves included, that we can keep going down the route we've been going down, but it's not going to change until we get somebody that is a franchise quarterback, that we believe is a franchise quarterback. And they scouted. They saw him as a sophomore. Brett Veach, who's now the GM, was an assistant GM at the time, was pounding the table for Patrick Mahomes. He was at practices and games. He said he's the best quarterback prospect he's ever seen in his life. And the Chiefs believed him. They started buying in, and everybody was on the same page of Patrick Mahomes is the guy we got to go and get. And you match him up with Andy Reid, and, you know, the rest is history. So I think if you're going to be competing with the Chiefs, I think you're seeing the teams that they struggle with. Tennessee is one of them, but Tennessee is the outlier that they struggle with, because Tennessee is the team they struggle with that doesn't have a Joe Burrow or a Josh Allen or a Justin Herbert that's there at the quarterback position.
Go back to how they found Patrick Mahomes, because at the time, I mean, people thought he was a first round pick, but it was, I mean, there was some like, is he going to make it to the second round? Is he going to be a late first rounder? And Andy Reid, quarterback guru, jumps up, takes this guy, has a plan for him. Now that they can talk about those things, both on the record, off the record in Kansas City, how did they find Mahomes?
Brett Veach, who's now the GM. Brett Veach was the guy who was on him early and scouted him early and said, this guy is simply different. And he had to sell it to the, you know, John Dorsey, who was the GM at the time, who made the trade ultimately, and Andy Reid. But once they started to see him and talk to him, it became that they were convinced as well. And the one thing that really stood out is, you know, with Arizona at the time, a head coach who was with Tampa, they won a Super Bowl.
Bruce Arians.
Bruce Arians. So Bruce Arians was Arizona at the time. Sean Payton was with New Orleans. Sean Payton had Drew Brees. They were taking Patrick Mahomes. Bruce Arians in Arizona, they were taking Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs knew that. That's why they moved up to number 10. Patrick Mahomes had told them, hey, this team's looking at – Mahomes wanted to go to the Chiefs. So he had this relationship with Brett Veach and had told him, you know, these are the teams that are looking at me. I've been told if I'm there at 12 or 13, this is where I'm going to go. And so Sean Payton, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Houston Texans had Bill O'Brien. They were going to take Patrick Mahomes. And they had video in the Houston Texans war room when the Chiefs traded up, and it was like they just saw a ghost, because that's who they were going to take. And then they trade up to get Deshaun Watson. And so when you hear that, it's Bill O'Brien, quarterback guy, Bruce Arians, quarterback guy, Sean Payton, quarterback guy, Andy Reid, quarterback guy. They all agreed on the same one, that it was Patrick Mahomes, because of how smart he was at the whiteboard, how quick he was at deciphering defenses and going through the game plans and the offense as a guy that was in the Texas Tech air raid style, that you can't draft a quarterback from that scheme. He'll never make it. Just like, you know, Jeff Tedford, you can never have a quarterback from his scheme because, you know, Akili Smith and Bowler didn't make it until he got Aaron Rodgers. And then it was like, okay, well, maybe it's different. Maybe it's the quarterback you get.
Right.
Maybe it's not the system. Maybe it's just the particular guy you have. So Patrick Mahomes was Patrick Mahomes in that system and was different. And so Brett Veach gets a lot of credit for seeing Patrick Mahomes. John Dorsey gets credit, and Andy Reid for pulling off the trade and making the move. But they also had to have the Bears take Mitchell Trubisky, and other teams take other positions besides quarterback.
The Titans take Corey Davis with the fifth overall pick.
The the Cincinnati Bengals had Andy Dalton, and they took John Ross right in front of the Chiefs at number nine. And then the Chiefs, they had already had the deal worked out with the Bills before. They had the trade worked out with the Bills at number 10 before, and said, if our player's there at number 10, this is the deal that's worked out. Their player was there at number 10, so they made the trade with the Bills. It didn't have to be a calling around and saying, should we trade up to 10 or 11? They knew the spot that they had targeted was number 10, and they went up and got it. So there was a lot of work behind the scenes. It wasn't just throw a dart. It was the only guy they wanted. And if Mahomes was gone, they wouldn't have gone up and got somebody else.
Jason Anderson's with us, Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. Do you think that the Titans can ultimately, like, why do you think the Titans give the Chiefs such fits? But that game this past year, I texted you the morning of the game. I said, word on the street is Malik Willis is going to play, and he stinks. I told you that it was like 9 a.m. that day. And he freaking sucks. I mean, he's freaking awful. And yet the Titans should have won that game. I mean, and I'm, you know, should have won or whatever. Yeah, and Mahomes makes a play.
You can say should have won because they
should have won.
I mean, they controlled that entire game until that, what, third and 17, third and 20, whatever it was, run by Mahomes.
Outside of one half of the AFC Championship game, the Titans, in my opinion, have almost dominated Kansas City over the last 4 years. How? Why?
I think, one, it's the defense that they play. I think it is also limiting Patrick Mahomes and the possessions that he gets. I think that's
although
part of it.
Although going three and out every time, they didn't limit
Yeah,
me.
Right. I know, but that's the thing. They have plenty of possessions in that game. I mean, it's Vrabel is a really good coach, and I think he can find some things to, you know, attack and eliminate, and so it's always felt like it was a lower scoring game, even though maybe it didn't turn out to be a lower scoring game. It always felt that way in Tennessee. What, in 2019 when the Chiefs played in Tennessee, and that was the great comeback by the Titans, and the
blocked
Chiefs could,
field goal at the end.
Yeah, they couldn't kick a field goal. They couldn't convert the fourth down, the possession before that, and they just couldn't do it. It's something like, I don't know if it's that Bengals thing that there are a couple of teams that just, with the Chiefs, that psychologically it doesn't work out. Like, it is a matchup that the Chiefs don't ever really want to see is Tennessee. And even with Malik Willis, that was going to be when Malik Willis and the Titans did that to the Chiefs and almost won, to me, that was a don't ever play the Titans again. Just don't play the Titans again.
Really?
Because if you can barely beat them with Malik Willis, there is something that's there that just doesn't mesh with what the Chiefs do and what Mike Vrabel brings out. That, you know, if Ryan Tannehill plays in that game, they win. You know, if Tannehill's healthy, they win that game. You know, Malik Willis was the quarterback, and, you know, they were playing like the 49ers against the Eagles, you
How
know,
would it
with,
do
with
like
not
this?
A quarterback.
And I've always told the story when I was a sophomore in high school. I had to fill out this, Jason Anderson's with us. I had to fill out, you know, like an extra page on a research paper. And so I just started doing the speculation, what if, and I got a giant red X through it. And so I understand the whole idea about, you know, the woulda, coulda, shoulda, this happened and then that happened.
Yeah.
If the Titans hang on to the ball against Jacksonville the last week of the season, they go to the playoffs. I think Brandon Staley's such a stooge with the Chargers. He would have screwed that up no matter what. They could have played Vanderbilt and he would have screwed it up. So then you got the Titans going to the Kansas City Chiefs. If Patrick Mahomes twists his ankle against the Titans, I don't think Kansas City wins that game.
Yeah, but of course, doesn't twist his ankle against the Titans because it wouldn't be, you know, that exact play
right,
where,
exactly.
You know, and that happening. But yes, if he were to get injured or something like that.
He twisted his ankle in the AFC Championship game that they played against the Titans. Titans going to the Super Bowl, play San Francisco.
Well, especially that run before half.
That exactly was what Mahomes I was thinking and, about.
Yeah.
That's why I picked Cincinnati. Cincinnati gives them
fits. Well, you're
fits,
stupid.
But the reason Cincinnati gives them fits is because they have Joe Burrow. Like, I get that.
Cincinnati, it's crazy. Like, the matchups with Cincinnati were so weird because the Chiefs for three quarters controlled those games in the three previous games. They had played 185 minutes in those three games. The Chiefs led for almost 100 minutes of the 185. The Bengals led for 40 minutes of 185, but they outscored the Chiefs 26-6 in the fourth quarter. Now, how does that happen with Patrick Mahomes? It just simply doesn't. For some reason with the Bengals, it happened with the Chiefs were on defense and the Bengals had a third and 27 and Spagnuolo blitzed and brought everybody. And they threw to Ja'Marr Chase down the sideline, complete pass. They got down inside the 5 yard line. Andy Reid doesn't just let him score. It was at that. It was 30-30. It's the first matchup. Andy Reid doesn't let him score. They're out of timeouts. The Bengals go for it on fourth down. Chiefs commit a penalty. It's first and goal from the one with 40 seconds left. Ball game. They kick a field goal as time expires. Second time they play in the AFC Championship game. Chiefs are dominating that game. It's over. Dominate. Mahomes plays the worst half of his life against the Bengals in the second half, and somehow the Bengals end up winning. They score, you know, they score a field goal in the fourth quarter, field goal in overtime, and that's all they need. Earlier this year on December 4th, the Chiefs are leading by four in the fourth quarter with the ball, and Travis Kelce gets it to midfield and fumbles. He's fumbled once this year. It was that game. They're up by four. They're going and driving to control that game. Bengals go down, score a touchdown. Chiefs come down, miss a field goal. And then the Bengals run out the clock. Like, these things that happen at the end of the games, it's like, how does it keep happening against the same team? Well, it's not just happenstance. It's not just luck. So how do they keep struggling against the Titans? How are they continuing to lose close games by 3 points against the Bengals? Well, they flipped the script finally in the AFC Championship game because they had the ball up 20-13 in the fourth quarter and Mahomes at midfield fumbles. They were up 7 in the fourth quarter, driving. They were going to control that. They were going to go up 2 scores on the Bengals in the fourth quarter. They fumble.
Burrow had the opportunity as well to win the game.
He had the ball twice.
Which he's done every time.
He had the ball twice in a 2020 game there in the fourth quarter against the Chiefs. And the fact that he didn't get it done is as shocking as really anything that the Chiefs have done against the Bengals, because he has done that 3 times before that they have been able to do that. And that's credit to the defense, the way that they played in that game. They had a huge advantage, their defensive line against a banged up offensive line in the Bengals. And they took a, you know, they maximized that. But
how much,
I think
how worried are you about the Chiefs? Jason Anderson's with us. How worried are you about the Chiefs?
Well, I mean,
against, about the Eagles.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, there's a worry because they're a good team, right?
But I'd be scared to death of the Eagles. This same formula that they have right now beat Tom Brady and the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean,
Nick Foles throwing for 350.
Yeah, but Jalen Hurts isn't throwing for 350. Nick Foles didn't.
But Jalen Hurts is better than Nick Foles was.
Yeah, look, the Eagles have been really good at dominating bad teams. They have been really good at beating awful quarterbacks, and Mahomes is different. The Chiefs are different. The Chiefs have a good roster. I know the thought process is the Eagles are better 2 through 53 and they're this complete team, but the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs have a really good offensive line too. Like they're really good. They have Andy Reid, who's been in the Super Bowl
now
4 times.
Jeffrey Simmons.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
He was right though. He was like, we're going to dominate them.
He was right though.
And
he got it right. Because earlier that year, Shaq Barrett said the same thing. Shaq Barrett and those Bucks got shut down earlier in the year. The offensive line took offense to that. But Jeffrey Simmons backed it up.
Yeah.
So good on him. But the Chiefs still ended up winning that game because Malik Willis, like we already talked about. The Eagles' defense is not the same as it was earlier in the year. Their first 11 games, they had 23 takeaways. The last 8 games, they only have 7. The Chiefs' defense has flipped. Early in the season, they weren't turning teams over. They've turned teams over 12 times in the last 7 games. Also, 3 of those 8 turnovers by the Eagles was against the 49ers in that quarterback situation. So, the whole, you take this away, you take that away. Obviously, you can ifs and buts and all of that. But
right, I don't anticipate the snap hitting Mahomes in the face.
Right.
And
before that, they had 5 turnovers in their previous 6 games. 5 takeaways, that defense. And the defense hasn't faced a quarterback that is better than Mahomes at eliminating pressures to sacks. So Mahomes is number 1 in the NFL at pressure to sack percentage. Only 10% of the pressures for Patrick Mahomes turn out to be sacks. The Eagles have faced 2 teams with quarterbacks that have a lower than 15%. Mahomes is at 10%, lower than 15%. Jared Goff and Dak Prescott, 35 and 40 points because they weren't sacking them. Those pressures weren't turning into sacks. Mahomes is the best in the league at eliminating pressures to sacks. And the Eagles have played one of the most dominant game scripts of the entire season. Last year, Jalen Hurts dropped back to pass 47% of his dropbacks were when the Eagles had a greater than 40% chance of winning. Okay. Sorry. Some numbers aren't great on the radio. 47% of his dropbacks.
So you're saying you're not worried?
Here's the last part of that. This year, 95% of his dropbacks have come when the Eagles have a greater than 40% chance of winning the game. It was 47% last year. It's 95%.
I don't think Jalen Hurts is that good.
I think
he's a good quarterback. Yeah. I don't think he's a great quarterback.
I agree with that. And we had Ron Jaworski on, and Jaws does all the pre and post for the Eagles. And I said, okay, is it overblown before and after injury for Jalen Hurts? And he goes, no. He goes, no, that shoulder's injured. He goes, there was a play to A.J. Brown in that game against the 49ers where A.J. Brown was there.
That was a touchdown. He missed it.
It was a touchdown. He goes, you make that throw 10 times out of 10 as a quarterback. And he goes, and he threw it, and the ball just died. He just didn't have it in the shoulder. And he went through 2 other plays in the 49ers where he said, the ball just died. And this throw, he does this, the ball just died. His shoulder is not there right now. So
last one for you.
We'll see.
You're a Chiefs fan and you're on the air in Kansas City. I'm a Titans fan. I'm on the air in Nashville.
Right.
I talk about being a fan all the time. Like I don't hide it. Like how do you approach that?
Oh, I do the same thing. Like, I think it'd be dumb if I said, no, I'm just going to be straight laced. And like, I try to be as unbiased on the air as I can, but there's always going to be a bias that's there because I grew up watching this team, loving this team, going out to Arrowhead and watching them play. And so, yeah, there are some times where you look through certain glasses, but also there are some times where you can hold their feet to the fire more, whatever the organization is, than you would if you're just simply
pissed off.
Because
like somebody
you've got the
not
passion that's there. And you're like, you know what? I want to have the passion that the fans have. Because if I'm speaking for the fans or I'm talking to people within the organization and being that conduit for the fans, like, I don't want to always be like, no, I'm going to be down the middle. And well, no, I'm pissed off. No, I'm mad about what the heck's going on with this. And you should be too. And I know you are. And I am. And I'm the voice for you. And I'm going to do this with the organization.
I said last one, I lied. One more. The NFL 100 in Miami. I think the quarterback group was Elway, Marino, Montana, Brady, Manning, Favre, Staubach. Would you take Favre out and put Mahomes in at this point, or does he have to win Sunday? If you win Sunday, I don't see how you can't have him ahead of Favre.
I think Favre was Mahomes before Mahomes with a lot more interceptions. Like, that's the thing, is Mahomes is like this gunslinger, but he's not.
Right.
He's got, what, 10, 11, 12 interceptions per year. It's not Aaron Rodgers with 3 or 4 or anything like that, but it's not 25 that we've seen. So, yeah, I would take Brett Favre out because Mahomes is the most talented quarterback I've ever seen play. And maybe that's the whole, I'm a Chiefs fan, I'm in, you know, on in Kansas City.
I would take Burrow over Mahomes, but it's
hard. You're absurd.
Hard.
You're dumb. That is the dumbest take you've ever had.
I love Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's cool.
I do. He's like my new Brady. Yeah, I'm addicted to him.
You take the
him.
8 touchdown passes in 6 playoff games, Joe
I couldn't
Burrow.
Give a rat's ass about that.
8 touchdown passes. You know, he's so amazing. He's never led a fourth quarter touchdown drive in the playoffs. He's so
Joe
awesome.
Burrow got to the Super Bowl last year is because Ryan Tannehill crapped his pants in that AFC divisional game.
Right. He got to the Super Bowl because of the Bengals defense. Because the Bengals defense turned Tannehill over 3 times.
That
Bengals
defense had everything to do with that. It had everything to do with Tannehill crapping his pants. And that's why they lost. And I still believe, again, this whole like woulda, coulda, shoulda. I still believe the Titans would have smoked, not smoked, but they would have beaten Kansas City at home because they're a bad matchup for them. They had a great team, number one seed, still had A.J. Brown on their team. And I think they would have beaten the Rams in L.A. like they did earlier in the season where they beat them convincingly without Derrick Henry.
Oh, I think the Bills or the Chiefs beat the Rams. Or the Titans beat the Rams.
I think anybody that had a better offensive line than the Bengals, which was everyone, probably would have beat the Rams.
The Bengals this year are a much better team than they were a year ago. That Bengals team was a year – they cut the line. They were a year early in how good they were. This Bengals team was better this year. Last year was a Cinderella run, and then they lost to the Rams team. And I think in the AFC, Titans, Bills, Chiefs all beat the Rams in that game.
Yeah.
And the Bengals didn't because, you know, offensive line, they were better this year. They would have been more deserving if they go if they were here and they win the Super Bowl. I would have seen that as a more sort of a more of a complete team with a franchise quarterback. Joe Burrow's fine. He can be the second or third best quarterback in the league. He's perfectly fine. But there's no debating who the now 2-time MVP is, Patrick Mahomes, and hopefully 2-time Super Bowl champion MVP on Sunday.
There you go. Jay Sanders of Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City. We roll along here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.